The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
Good morning all, this is Ryan Tubridy. It's Friday morning, the 6th of March 2020. We're here till 10 o'clock this morning and you can text us on 51551. Email ryan@rte.ie, or you could do none of that. Just listen, enjoy, or give out, or shout, or scream at the radio, which apparently is one of the great compliments you can give us. You're shouting at the radio. But as you would do if somebody was getting on your nerves, which we endeavour to do all too regularly. But we're here until 10 and we have lots to talk about today, do we not? And I was buying chocolates yesterday for myself. And I said to the guy behind the counter, I said, listen, has the weather being replaced by the virus as passing conversation? And he said, easily, by multiples, he suggested. It's all changed. This is all anyone can talk about on this island and probably around the world at the moment. It is the first thing. There are meetings where somebody will cough and everyone will look around and say, you've got the virus. If anyone sees a sneeze in the distance, they'll say, they have the virus. There's dark comedy. There's inappropriate humour. There is seriousness, as we've seen. It's been handled, I think, impeccably by the people in charge at the top, who I'm watching on the news every night, as we all are, I think, being kept posted. I think it's terrifying a lot of people. I think children are a little bit scared. They shouldn't be, because it's under control. I think older people are getting a hard time because everyone keeps saying that they're the most vulnerable. But don't worry, again, it's under control. I mean, the thing that was probably needed most, more than anything else, is not to panic. I mean that not in a glib or flippant or facetious way. I think they have it as much under control as possible. And they keep telling us all what to do over and over and over again. It's on every radio program, every news bulletin, every website. It's all there. HSE.ie, they keep saying go there. I mean, I know that I was listening to the news, the Morning Ireland this morning, I was gobsmacked by the figure that something like over 50% of people over 65 don't have access to or knowledge of the internet. It's an enormous figure. For the same demographic in the UK, it's 17%. Now, that may well, as was suggested to me earlier, be to do with the fact that broadband isn't everywhere, and therefore, how can you be au fait with something that's not available to you? Totally understandable. So this isn't a criticism, it's just a fact. So when everyone says, go to the website, a lot of people say, well, I can't, I don't have the access to it. It's not that I'm stupid or I don't want it, it's just that I don't have it. It's another debate for another day, but it is another issue for our older citizens and compatriots who we all respect and admire, and rightly so. So it's just another. The other thing is the handshake, lads. I think we probably need to nationally decide we're going to go easy on the handshakes for the moment. I mean, you know, it's just tricky. I was having dinner not too long ago I was approached, it was outside, and a lot of people came up for the handshake, and I normally have no issue with it. I love people. I'm more than happy to meet. If anyone's ever met me outside this place, you'll know I'm delighted to say hello and do pictures and whatever it might be. But I will say, I think we need to all be, and I'm not talking about me at all, I'm talking about all of you together as a national family. We need to be minding ourselves and being aware of the things like the handshake. In different countries around the world, they're saying that, you know, you can kick other people's shoes or do something with your elbows or just stare at them in the eyes, which is a bit creepy. But there's ways around it that says, you might have seen Angela Merkel. She approached one of the European heads the other day, she put the law out. Your man said, beat it, or whatever the German for that was. And she threw her hands up and started laughing, going, yeah, you're right. We're all growing. We're all trying to learn how this works. And we'll do it together, and with less panic, and with a little bit of gentle humour when it works. There are people who are in hospital now who are not finding the funny side of this. And I get that. And I offer my complete sympathies to them and hope that they get better and come out of hospital bouncing, because that's what mostly happens when people get this. They bounce out of hospital. Very rarely will someone not make it. So that's good. And that's why we'll do a little hour today of maybe not so much corona free, but we'll work a way around it and we'll navigate it. If you don't have a sense of humour, you mightn't be into it. If you do have a sense of humour, stick with us. That's where we're going to roll today till 10 o'clock. 51551 with thoughts and musings. You know that neighbour up the road or that colleague down the corridor who knows more about the coronavirus than anyone on the planet Earth. I can pretty much guarantee you they know nothing. The only people who know about it are the people who know about it. And they're on the news every night and every day. And that's who we should be listening to. Not your man or your one. They know nothing. They have half a headline off Twitter, half a story off a Vox Pop on the radio somewhere, and mangle that into a terrorising anecdote to scare you. Nothing. Stick with the experts, lads. They're the ones. In France, newspapers have been filled with advice on how to replace kissing on the cheek. Bonjour, papa, Nicole, mwah, mwah. No, we have to replace this. The etiquette expert Philippe Lufty has said in the media, he's been cited, he said handshakes are a relatively recent development. It began in the Middle Ages. So, you know, Jesus probably didn't meet Paul or Peter, Matthew, Luke, John and say, how's it going? Nice to meet you. Weak handshake, disappointing. Or good handshake. Or the overcompensating, I've got a massive handshake. You're compensating. He says simply looking into a person's eye in France can suffice as a greeting. Now, if I was in France and somebody stared me in the eyes, I'd think I was about to be mugged or beaten. So I'm not sure about that one. There are other ways around this, as you probably know. Where else have we got? Iran, they're having a terrible time in Iran. And there's a video showing three friends meeting, hands in their pockets, with two of them wearing masks, but they're tapping their feet against each other as a greeting. That seems to be a popular one. And broadly, so in the United States, basketball stars have been given a series of recommendations, including that players interacting with fans should bump fists, you know, the fist bump thing, rather than high five, and to avoid taking items such as pens and balls and jerseys to autograph. Wash your hands with soap for more than 20 seconds or thereabouts. And cover your mouth, as I was being taught by my own youngest and bright young lady, by putting your nose into a sleeve like this. Like Tom Jones would do that now. You go, Tom Jones, into the sleeve like that, not the big spluttering one out on top of everyone. Tonight, the Late Late Show will look at some serious advice on this as well, because I know our friends in the HSC really need the message to be hammered home. Now it's on the island. We just need to be careful and be serious about things like hygiene. So when you see me coming on tonight on the Late Late Show at 9:35, I'll be coming out in a way that you've never seen me appear on the show before. I'm doing something that will be pretty straightforward, but it's instructive and it's necessary. So I won't get into it now. We'll see you later on that. But it'll be useful to you. I think that's what you need to know. Let's all use Spock's greeting instead of handshakes, says Denise in Newbridge. Now, that's somebody now who loves their Star Trek. And Spock, if you don't know, would put the two fingers to one side and the other three fingers are making a gap. And that's a sign, which I think is taken from a tribe or somewhere. We'll find out. Yeah, that's it. You got it. And you can do that. That's a nice thing to do, except it could be complicated. What about bringing back the old Irish nod? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Or yeah, that's right. One or two fingers to your top right temple of the head, and like a mini salute. That could make us all look even madder than we are, but it's good. We are already nodding donkeys out here, says Ron. I'm sure. Bow as they do in Japan, says Eamon. A wink. No wink. No, don't encourage the winking. We'll all look a bit odd. We have like Barry Keoghan and Niamh Alger coming out tomorrow. We won't be doing, we're going to watch what signals, hand signals you do and how you raise your arm. And Barry Keoghan, Niamh Alger, yeah, and Liam Cunningham, Jackie Abbott and Paul Heaton, two of my favourites from the beautiful South originally. So do I shake their hands tonight on the Late Late Show? Like, I mean, I've got to practice what I preach. We'll have to work on this because they probably don't want to shake my hand. In any event, virus, no virus. But we'll see how that goes. Okay, so you're all busy now with your suggestions to 51551. Thank you very much. And I talked to a healthcare professional company yesterday and they said all the panic and hysteria about corona is coming from people aged 30 to 60. He hasn't had to deal with one older person being too concerned. I wonder if that linked to the fact that they don't know what the internet involves. Well, they are, most of them probably do, but some don't. 15 years ago, says the text, my late mother used to go mad that at the end of every programme it would say, for further information, go to www. And she would meet us at the door saying that www is driving me mad. Well, no one says it anymore, so it's all good. Ryan, thanks. Steady hand on the tiller. That's what's needed. Panic will achieve nothing. Thank you, Susie. Hopefully this thing will burn itself out as the summer approaches. Yeah, and it might get worse before it gets better, but we'll all get there together. This is what I'm saying. There's something about like big snow catastrophes, which is much less serious, let's face it, but mad weather conditions. It brings us together. It turns the island into a village. And isn't that when we're at our best? And the lack of panic is great. I hear people, they've run out of tins of beans in Corners Court, and they've, you know, people are buying toilet rolls and to beat the band and so forth. And that's I don't think there's anything wrong with that, in case, you know, that's preparatory. And it's not going to go to waste. If you're shopping for your nuclear winter, it won't go to waste. The handshake was originally used as a peaceful greeting, says the text, to show that no weapon was being carried. Good. Remind everyone to wash those snotty sleeves. There, consider yourselves reminded. And somebody in Kildare says, do you think maybe we could chance a smile as a greeting?
Hey, yes.
Yeah, you could try that. You could try that, a little smile, a little hey, yes. And no salutes, we're not supposed to be touching our faces. Okay, Mary, go. Okay, so no salutes. Try something else. Speaking of older people, there's been a marked increase in the number of Irish people living until the age of 100. And when you hit 100, the President of Ireland, whoever that may be at any given time, gives you some money. The current going rate for hitting 100 is, a cheque will wing its way to your house, to the value of €2,540. Tidy sum, isn't it? You can do worse things than getting that. Happy birthday to you. You can wash your hands and singing happy birthday to yourself with the money coming in. Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to me, happy birthday to you. Wash. Once, wash twice, take the cheque and cash it. Here's a review of the presidency and spending at Áras an Uachtaráin for 2019. There's real details of the Centenarian Bounty. What a great name. Fresh from the medieval age. The Centenarian Bounty has arrived. Wash your hands twice. Which was first introduced in 1940 by Douglas Hyde. Good on him. Of the 481 Irish citizens who reached 100 years, 395 were women and 86 were men. There's quite a disparity, isn't it? But there you are. Anyway, happy birthday to all of you 100-year-olds. If you're listening in this morning, it's nice to have you with us. Alanis Morissette would have been an iconic figure in my 20, when I was younger. And she played in London over the last day or two. And the review in one of the papers this morning gives her 5 stars. Says her gig is amazing. She's obviously still got it. She said there was a shot of fresh material in her stuff alongside favourites like Ironic and You Ought to Know. And the 1998 hit Thank You formed a heart-swelling endnote. Morissette has always stood out for bearing her soul. Paired back and in the raw, her songs sounded stronger than ever. Yeah, I think her songs are kind of timeless and they'll work. But that's it. I think she's coming to town soon, isn't she? And by all accounts, when she was here the last time, it was a great gig and well worth the look. People are they like to tune in for things like a little bit of calm, a little bit of less anxiety in the world. And some people like to look at Crufts on the television. You know, the dog thing. I've never seen one. The nearest I've seen a minute of Crufts is if some dog eats another dog, you know, and it's a headline in the story, or, you know, Gogglebox or what have you. Look at it. That's the only time. But it's on the television. People walking their dogs. I heard an exchange this morning about a dog that was shown, and somebody sent a message to somebody else to say, that dog is the head of Luke Kelly. Now, that made me laugh because some dogs actually look uncannily like people. I mean, you know, they look like their owners, but you can see it. It's like something out of an old children's book when you see like a dash hound can look particularly like the owner. A Dalmatian, if there's a dermatological issue, can often look like an owner. And it depends on the dog and the person, but they can look quite alike. But this is an interesting story that says that specialist Labradors and Cocker Spaniels are being trained to smell cancer in urine samples provided by other dogs. These are cancer detection dogs. How about that? And they're turning their noses onto other canines for the first time in a new trial launching at Crufts today. Specialist Labradors and Cocker Downs have been trained to smell cancer in urine samples provided by other dogs in an effort to investigate what would be a cheap, fast and non-invasive diagnostic test for canine bladder cancer. It's an odd story, but dogs are incredible, as well as being important as family friends. But they have these other great other skills, and the dogs that are useful to children or adults. We featured the blind dogs with Roy Keane recently, the guide dogs for the blind, I should say, with Roy recently. And you hear of dogs that are helpful to people with anxiety or autism. Dogs are just remarkable. They serve a great service. They have a great role in life, I think it's fair to say. OK, let's have a quick look at the texts before we play a tune or two. 51551 at 19 minutes past nine this Friday morning. One says... do you think... Yes, we did that, right? No salutes yet, we did that. Okay, Ryan, try the fist bump greeting. It's quick, hygienic and street smart. I think I'd look like somebody trying to be cool if I did it. And I'm so uncool that it could double back on itself and become ironically cool, Alanis Morris said. So I might try it and see, especially if it's clean. What the hell is wrong with a smile or, hi, how are you? Nothing at all, but I think there's something, that's fine if you know the person, but there's something about it's like breaking bread when you shake hands with somebody. It's kind of saying, I've got this, you've got this, good to see you. So it's a bit different. And Maya in Kilcash says, Nanu Nanu and the funny hand symbol. That's not bad now from Mork and Mindy. Make us all smile. I'll try that. Welcome Liam Cunningham. Nanu Nanu, Liam, and see if that works. The Thai greeting is beautiful and respectful. Join hands as if in prayer and bow your head to the recipient. That would be kind of Dalai Lama type greeting, which is quite peaceful. Tex says, I'm going to the funeral today. Any suggestions to replace a hug or a handshake? That's a tricky one, because obviously at a funeral, a hug goes a long way and a handshake is very respectful. So that's down to the priest needs to be the leader in that, or whoever's officiating at the funeral, to stand up and say, by the way, friends, this is how this is going to work. That would be good. We'll take a steer on that. If anyone could guide us, we'll take a steer and we'll advise people, because that's very useful to know. Teresa, yes to keeping calm, even though I'm struggling, as my 95-year-old dad is in CUH since last night. No visitors as they are locked down. That's tricky. There's no doubt about that. So please thank the very kind staff minding my dad, Peter. Maybe even play them a tune to keep their spirits up. He loves people, so he'll be grand, but we are worried. I love the national family concept of looking out for each other. That is all we have now. We are a national family. That's what I'm saying this morning. And family, mind each other. And that's the key. I'm 60, says a text, with diabetes and severe respiratory condition. And I'm totally freaked out by this outbreak. And now how many Italian rugby fans are arriving here today while the government dithers? Well, it's not that... I don't think it's the dithering. In fairness, they shut down the rugby match pretty quickly. And I think there's... retrospective relief that they did that. And equally, I think that the people in charge of telling us what to do are, I just feel they're doing a very good job at telling us what to do. And we'll do more of it tonight on the Late Late Show. And what I'm saying to you with diabetes and the respiratory condition, of course you've got concerns, but they're also telling you how to keep minding yourself. Maybe this weekend, maybe not be out and about as much as you might be. But again, it's about the calm. And the level-headedness is key, because some people love to catastrophize. It's like if you're walking down, if you ever have a baby and people love to tell you, oh God, it's desperate. You look wrecked. Are you sleeping? It gets worse. It doesn't. It gets better and better and better. It's the best thing in the world. So don't be people. Some people just are catastrophizers. When they start doing that, try and tune out a little bit. I'd be one of those at-risk patients, says Tom and Rosslare. Oh, Tom, it's good to hear from you this morning. And the only way to deal with this is to keep our heads, follow instructions to the letter, and take it one day at a time. It's worked for me through my life so far. You're a wise man. One of our favourites, Sinead O'Connor, has been named one of the most influential women of the past 100 years by Time magazine. Beautiful photo of her in it. This list includes Aretha Franklin, Margaret Thatcher, Amelia Earhart, and it includes a Woman of the Year for each year since 1920. O'Connor was named 1992 Woman of the Year for challenging the Catholic Church by ripping apart a photograph of Pope John Paul II on Saturday Night Live in October that year, and for speaking openly about the abuse she suffered. She was still widely condemned and her career took a significant blow, said Olivia Wilde, the actor and director. As an Irish woman, O'Connor was aware of the danger of criticising a powerful entity like the church. She took that risk in order to publicly demand justice for children who were sexually abused by members of the clergy. She was ahead of her time in that regard. 9 years after her performance, the Pope acknowledged and apologised for the church's long history of sexual abuse. In recent years, O'Connor has been vocal about her mental health struggles, only once again laying herself bare for the world. She remains an example of the power of provoking necessary, if unpopular, conversations and the courage it takes to do so. Which is pretty interesting. She has responded by saying she's truly honoured and delighted to have been included in the Time magazine's list of the 100 most influential women of the last 100 years. It brought a little tear to my eye. In September last year, says the journal.ie, O'Connor made headlines after she returned to music and performed her classic Nothing Compares to You hit on The Late Late Show. A video of her performance was shared endless amount of times, and people were delighted to have her back and see her in such flying form. It's 9:24. This is one of my favourites of one of the most influential women of the past 100 years. Right, love that song from Sinead O'Connor. It's No Man's Woman. Ali was on to say in excess of 20,000 people attend Crufts every day, but this year many major sponsors have chosen to pull out. As you can imagine, last year I was showing my breed, and the prospect of anything going pear-shaped and being trapped in a hotel for 2 weeks with six dogs is mind-boggling. That's why I think we're sending many, many planes all over the world half empty, because people have said, I'm not going, not because I think I'll get the virus, but because I don't want to be stuck, if somebody else does, in somewhere else for 2 weeks. It's too risky for home life and work and whatever. Larry says, Ryan, I'm glad you mentioned about dogs being lookalikes to humans. I'm always seeing people in various dogs and have most of my life. I thought it was just a bit weird. Was it just me? All to do with how they look or give you an eye. I also think it's just attitude. Mine and theirs. It's funny. Good man, Larry. You're on the same, in the same boat now with me. I often think of human and humans and animals are quite closely related in their behaviours. And I want to talk to Eamon, who's on the line now. Good morning, Eamon.
Good morning, Ryan. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Whereabouts in the world are you?
I'm in Limerick at the minute.
Oh, good. Are you heading to work, off work?
Nope, I'm off work. I'm retired.
Oh, you're retired. How's retirement going for you?
It's going well, thanks be to God. And how's more time to do a bit of fishing.
Oh, tell me, where are you fishing?
Well, I'm hoping to fish up in the Corrib shortly once the water drops a little bit.
And where do you fish out of, as they say?
Well, a number of places around the Corrib, Ughtarard, and my parents are in Mycullen, so we have a boat near there.
That is, it's just one of those beautiful lakes. And would you pull into an island now and have the bit of lunch?
Oh, yeah, pull into the islands, have the owl kettle out, make a little fire and have a cup of tea. And hopefully, the odd time, have a nice fish to cook up.
But not, isn't it something else? And such simple pleasures. And hopefully keep the phone away so that you can enjoy the
Definitely. The no phones allowed.
And
no,
make a fly, or do you buy a fly? Or
I used to make my own flies. I'm a bit lazier these days, so I buy most of my flies. So yeah, I do trout fishing. So that's mainly what I do. And then the odd time we do a bit of salmon fishing.
Oh, even better. Where would you do that?
Salmon fishing in Galway Weir and a number of other rivers around the country.
So you get the waders on and start casting.
Yes. Beautiful. And I used to do it with my dad quite a lot. But now that he's a little bit older, he doesn't go on the Corrib anymore. But we still go into the Galway fishery and we fish. And hopefully this year he will manage to catch another salmon.
Good on him, because it's your dad that is the reason we're speaking today. I was talking about the number of centenarians living in the country at the moment, and this brings us neatly to Ned Cusack.
Yes.
Tell me about him.
Well, Ned Cusack, he is from Mitchelstown, now living in Gartna Hollow, Mycullen, in Galway, and he's 101.
Great.
And just in response to your remarks there, he got a lovely medal from the president's office on his birthday was on Sunday. He was 101 on Sunday, and he got this lovely silver coloured medal because he was 101. Last year he got the cheque, as you recalled, and we had a large gathering for that. This year was a smaller event.
And but, where did you gather for the 100th?
We had a lovely gathering down in Moycullen, down in the Glendale Abbey. And we had a good number of people there, 150 or 200 people there. And we really made a night of it. And both Dad and Mum, Mum who is 97, were all in great form and danced the night away.
So you've got 101 and 97. Are they living together in the in their family home? Is that?
They are, yes. They're both living together reasonably peacefully in Gorton na Halla.
Yeah.
And as I keep telling people, they're both still able to give out to me and tell me to eat my greens and so on. Yeah. So once they're doing that, I know everything is fine.
It doesn't matter a damn how old anyone is in the world. A mammy's a mammy, a daddy's a daddy, a son is a son, and a daughter's a daughter.
That's true.
That is the truth. So he's in good form, is he, Ned, your dad, Mr. Cusack?
He is, yeah. And he's looking forward, as I say, to going up to the Galway fishery this year and hopefully catching his, God knows how many salmon he's got at this stage in his life, but if get you, another one anyway.
If you were introduced to somebody today, Eamon, would you shake his or her hand?
I'd have to say I would consider it twice. That's why actually I texted in earlier on to you there about bowing. My sister is in Japan,
yeah,
living there at the moment, and they have a nice little thing of bowing to people.
Bowing.
And maybe that's one way we could get around this little inconvenience for a while.
It's a social inconvenience, that's right. And well put. And I think there's going to have to be that kind of Angela Merkelian sense of, you know, throwing your hands up and saying, right, you know, when you meet somebody, say, I hope you don't mind, but I think it's probably safer, you know,
yeah,
if we don't shake hands. And hopefully the other person doesn't go, you know, you twit. And
it also reminds me, and again, I was talking to my father about it there over the weekend, and he used to be very interested in Westerns.
Oh, yeah.
American Westerns.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I was going to say the word probably shouldn't do it, but anyway, the First Nation people would put their hand up and say, how? Was that the old...
That's we would have seen in the movies where Geronimo or Hiawatha and all and we're talking about the stereotypes of these, obviously. That's Once Upon a Time when they come on and go, how? And we would have imitated them as kids, actually.
That's right.
Yeah, and in the head.
And also of a certain age would do, anyway.
For sure. And is your dad still into the Westerns, I wonder?
He does. He enjoys. They used to have them, I think they might still do, on T.G. Carr there.
Yeah.
And he does. He still enjoys an old Western film.
Yeah. The pioneers heading out for the gold rush. They're great films.
Right. Yeah. And the interesting thing about that, actually, Ryan, and probably is, I don't know whether it's a West of Ireland thing or not, but there was a lot of Irish books written in Irish about the Native Americans, and he used to read those.
Osquelga,
yeah.
I think I was in a library recently and I saw a stand, and all of the stand was full of little Westerns. And I think I remember seeing something like that in Irish, with maybe, you know, the front of it has this old-fashioned picture of a horse is going through, you know, the Wild West.
That's right. He still has a few of those books down at home.
That's brilliant. What a great man and great wife to keep an eye on you still, your mammy.
Eileen Cusack.
We wish them
Eileen Gagan, actually. She's a Galway woman. That's why he went down there.
Yeah.
And actually, again... I suppose all coincidence. The reason he ended up in Galway, because he's from Mitchelstown, County Cork, which is a great little village. But he emigrated to Galway because of the army. He was in the army for a good number of years.
Okay.
Before he retired on the first occasion, as you can imagine, he retired on a number of occasions. But he was in Galway. He moved to Galway when he was promoted during the emergency back in 1939, when the country went into, or didn't go into the Second World War. We were neutral, as we all know.
Yeah, we didn't have the war, we had the emergency, yes.
We had the emergency, yes. We were neutral on the side of the Allies.
Indeed.
And he tells lovely stories about picking up the aircraft that used to crash land in Ireland and guarding them and so on, and then the Americans would come down and pick them up and bring them back up north and release the prisoners.
That's amazing.
Back north. So there are lots of nice anecdotes like that.
It's funny you should say that, because I was driving through, Glen Cree in Wicklow, and they have the German soldiers' graveyard there. I couldn't quite remember what the story behind that graveyard was. I didn't have time to stop, but obviously there would have been a number of German soldiers would have landed around the country for crash landing or whatever.
That's right, and they used to be taken prisoner, and as Germans were put into the Kora camp. I think there were a few English as well. But the stories there, again, that Dad would tell is that while the Germans were locked up in an internment camp there for the duration of the war, they were allowed to go up to Dublin to see the films.
Were they?
So we have an odd little country.
There's the title of the book for sure. An odd little country. What did you do for a living before you retired, Eamon?
Oh, I was mainly involved with fisheries. I was the CEO of a fisheries board here in Ireland.
Good.
Looking after the Shannon was the last one I had.
There were worse jobs you could do, I'd say. Worse jobs.
Aye. As I say, it's nice to deal with fish. It's the people that are a little bit more difficult.
On that note, we'll say goodbye to you. Eamon, listen, nice to talk to you, and the best to your folks.
Same here.
All right.
Take
bye
care,
for now. Slant,
bye. Bye-bye.
23
bye.
Minutes to 10. Just heaps of time. Anne says, my husband Philip used to drop everything when his brother called to tell him the Mayfly was up. Lovely. Straight off to Lough Derg, and he used to send his catch on the bus to Bussaras wrapped in cabbage leaves and newspaper. There's some memories. There are two, says Tom, Second World War bombers in Galway Bay. One 300 yards from the shore in Salt Hill, English Wellington, and the other German Heinkel 111. I did not know that. Jerry was on to say, relating to German POWs in Ireland, have a look at the book Luftwaffe over Ireland. Very interesting insight. Good Lord. And Terry, with a twist of humour, asks, any truth in the rumour that Toyota are recalling 500,000 cars because of, as he calls it, the Corolla virus? You can have that for nothing. Okay, we'll stay there for now. Join us on the Late Late Show tonight, where Charlie McGettigan and indeed our brand new Eurovision star will be singing for us, as will Paul Heaton and Jackie Abbott, who I'm just so excited to meet again and talk to and listen to. And we'll have Barry Keoghan, Niamh Alger, we'll have Liam Cunningham, and as I say, we'll be starting the show in a way like we've never done before, but that's at 9:35 tonight. In the meantime, thank you team, as always. Thank you kindly for listening, appreciate it greatly, and we'll talk to you Monday 9 to 10 or tonight at 9:35. Stay tuned for Sean O'Rourke, and we'll see you next time.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.